brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyer, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host out of Port of Spain, Trinidad. This story from Reuters, and this news story has a question embedded in it that I'd like to know if our audience can answer. It's a crime story, and if you were the judge, what would you do? A homemade guillotine. A guillotine trap was set to deter burglars in a man's home because he was frustrated that the police were unable to stop the recurring burglaries at his home. So he made a guillotine, and he set it to deter burglars. Well, that guillotine ended up severing the hand of a 17-year-old girl who broke into her neighbor's home. Now, of course, when Reuters prints the story, they say she allegedly broke into the home. I'd say since her hand was left inside the house and she was outside of the house, I'd say she broke into the home. At any rate, this teenage girl broke into her neighbor's house in Trinidad in the Caribbean. This happened this past Monday. Not today, but last week. Doctors have reattached Anne Marie Hall's severed hand in a 12-hour operation, but that just happened this past weekend. But she's remained hospitalized, and doctors said that it was too soon to know if she would regain use of her hand, which was severed at the wrist. Now, the house owner, his name was Brent Hall. She's Ann Hall, but there's no relation. Just coincidental last name. You got to go back some centuries before there's a relation. The house owner, Brent Hall, said he made the guillotine after being repeatedly robbed. All right, he reported the thefts to the police, but they were unable to find the culprits, so he took matters into his own hands. Okay. The teenager admitted climbing through a window in the kitchen to get something to eat. Now, that's what she said, to get something to eat. I imagine if she found some money on the counter, she could use that to get something to eat, maybe at a McDonald's. They've got those in Port of Spain, right? So she broke into her neighbor's home and ended up with her hand cut off. Isn't it funny? Reuters says the girl who allegedly broke into the neighbor's house, her hand's on the inside of the house, her body's on the outside of the house. She admits climbing in through a window. And they say she allegedly broke into the house. What do they need? The alleged journalists at Reuters have a hard time using that word alleged. At any rate, police, here's where the question comes in. Police were investigating whether any criminal charges should be filed. Against the girl? Of course. That's easy. See, I didn't even wait for the audience to answer the question. Of course criminal charges should be. Oh, Carl's saying, how about against the guy? Oh, okay. Well, let's discuss that. 1-800-8-NYAR, 1-800-836-9278. I'll put out the question, but not answer it. After all, my answers are probably, who knows? I'm probably wrong. I don't know how to answer these difficult questions. I'd just be guessing. I'd just be licking my finger and putting it up in the wind, seeing which way the wind blows, and then giving an answer. Coordinating maybe yes with the wind from the north-northeast and no wind from the south-southwest. Should the guy be punished? Should you be allowed to booby-trap your property? Should that be allowed? So I'll put that question out there, and maybe I'll give in, and toward the end of the show, we'll open the window, I'll put my finger out, and I'll take a guess. But I'd love to have a call, but thanks. You know, we've hired a new engineer here at KGov, and we're going to be going live, we believe, sometime in early summer or in May, so that we actually might get answers to the questions we ask on the show before the show is over. Now, wouldn't that be dramatic? That would truly be the next step in the growth of Kegev, the Kegev Empire. In fact, speaking of the next step, we're using this antiquated phone system. I mean, this phone system is embarrassing even as a phone system. Never mind as a studio interface to a program when you need a sophisticated piece of equipment called the Gentner or some similar competitive brand. Gentner owns the market for studio for live call-in talk shows. And there's a lot that needs to take place technically to put a phone call on a program and to do it well. Now, we mentioned last week that we really needed a Gentner, and some pretty neat things have happened. We put a bid on one on the internet that we have the possibility of the auction is over. And we were the high bidder, but we haven't met the seller's base price. And it's really a tremendous price. It's about $2,000 less than new. And the unit is completely rebuilt by Gentner, and it hasn't been used since it's just come back from the factory. And we haven't... told the seller, yes, we want to buy it because we are short financially. Let me tell you what happened. I announced on my show that we're trying to raise money to get a Gentner. And Doug McBurney has announced it on his show. And we had a little competition going. We didn't realize it. But one of my listeners, thank you very much, from out in Hawaii, sent us $1,000 toward a Gentner. We were really excited about that. A wonderful guy, $600. Other people, and then Doug announced it on his show, and he started getting donations. And so we're trying to figure out whose audience is going to come through in the clutch here and finally put us over the top where we could get this Gentner. We need now another $1,850. We're hoping we get that. We had people offer to loan us the money. Actually, $1,500 of that we had it as an invitation to we could borrow the money, and we thought we don't want to do it because our revenue is not strong enough so that we can put ourselves deeper in debt. We are within a couple weeks, we hope, of being almost completely out of debt. Completely out of debt. If you guys recall all the fun we had protesting Bill Clinton back 2 years ago, it was fun. It was a lot of excitement, even though it was a despicable event we were protesting him for regarding Juanita Broderick. Well, those protests, they cost a lot of money. We ended up protesting in about 145 cities. We had a tremendous time, but we spent a lot of money. And the money was coming in so fast, and we were for 6 weeks, it was a blur. We sent out hundreds of thousands of sheets of literature describing the evidence against Bill Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick. We ended up with literally hundreds of accounts in the media on radio, newspaper, and television, all local reports, though, about Bill Clinton having raped Juanita Broderick. And we spent, in 6 weeks, $110,000. Now, we would not have spent that much money if we had better real-time accounting going on, but we were taking in money quickly. We took in $70,000 during those 6 weeks for the protest. What happened was we ended up with a $40,000 debt, and we hope that, and we've been working on that for the past 2 years. That was debt my wife and I incurred personally. We funded that protest. And when it was all over, we looked back and said, "Ikes, what did I do, honey? I spent all our money." And now we hope that within another week or so, we'll have that $40,000 paid down to about $4,000. And it's been quite a burden to service that debt over this past 2 years. It's been the biggest financial drain on us, because it's on top of all of our other budget requirements, our rent and our insurance and our printing bills and our phone bills and our internet bills and our workers and staff, and it's just been really tough. So anyway, that debt, we're very close to making another large payment on that debt and getting it down to just a few $1,000s. And so because we're just about to get out of debt, we turned down, after being very thankful, we turned down those who wanted to lend us $1,500 toward this Gintner. We just can't do it. We could do it, but we don't want to do it. Okay, now we got a phone call coming in here. No, we lost our phone call. All right, we had a bill from Denver somehow calling in about the guillotine. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened, but let me get back to the news now. Okay. So anyway, if anyone would like to help out with the Gintner, Get a Gintner campaign we've got going on here, you can call us at 1-800-8-NER anytime, 24 hours a day. We'll either answer the phone or you leave your name and number. Or you could go on the internet, go to kgov.com, click on shop, and you can make a donation. If you make a donation over the web, we have a slight bug in our software. It'll charge you shipping and handling. And I want to apologize for that and assure you we will not actually bill your credit card for the shipping and handling of a donation. But if you donate $50, it'll show up $50 and $500. Oh, boy, that would be neat. It'd show up $500, not $500 and $450. Okay. Funny thing happened out of Sweden this past week. Funny thing. The Swedish cabinet has a gender equality expert that they employ. Yes, they do. A gender equality expert. It's a guy, of course. And he was on a flight with his boss, who is Sweden's equality minister. That's a woman. Sweden has a female equality minister. And they were also with the agriculture minister, who's a woman, who's responsible for gender equality in Sweden. For some reason, I guess they think you grow genders on a vine or something. So the agriculture minister is apparently responsible for gender equity in Sweden. And their gender equality expert, this guy, his name is Lars Back, B-A-C-K, Lars Back. Lars was on a flight with his boss and one of her equals in the Sweden's cabinet, and he began harassing the airline stewardesses. He was harassing the stewardesses on a Delta Airlines flight from New York to Stockholm. Now, that doesn't seem to be the behavior commensurate with the position of gender equality expert. But anyway, Sweden's gender equality expert was harassing the stewardesses in their cabin on the plane, and then he vomited on his boss. He vomited in the lap of his boss, Sweden's female equality minister. Now, obviously, what you got going here is some stupid homo was on the flight drinking the free liquor in the first class cabin. He's mocking the stewardesses because they're women and he doesn't like women, and then he threw up on his boss, whom he also doesn't like. A spokesman for the agriculture minister, Margarita Winberg, who is, again, responsible for gender equality in Sweden, told Reuters that, yes, it's true, Lars Back had vomited on his boss. In her lap. What a mess. Sweden, you know, the European Union has a rotating presidency, and it goes around and around the different nations. And right now, Sweden holds the presidency of the European Union. And top government officials from Sweden were traveling to the U.S., to America, to represent Europe at a United Nations conference on the Commission. The conference is the Commission on the Status of Women. And at least they have the opinion of their gender expert on their status. I mean, he throws up on his boss.
Bob Benyart Live is going to Israel March 21st through the 30th, 2001. We'll be leaving out of New York City for Tel Aviv. We'll spend a night in Tel Aviv, and then we'll go into the Holy Land. And I want to read you one of the days that we're going to be in Israel. It's going to be a very small group, about 40 or so people on a single bus, so you get to know and interact with other Bob Benyart Live fans from around the country. We're going to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, then visit the Mount of Beatitudes, site of the Sermon on the Mount, and the site of the miracles of the loaves and fishes. We're going to proceed to Capernaum and cross the River Jordan and visit Caesarea, Philippi, and the Golan Heights, then return to Tiberias for dinner and the evening. Now that's just one day. Wouldn't that be fun? You get to go to all these different places you've been reading about for so long in the Bible. You get to go on a nice, intimate trip with very few, and will be close friends by the end of the trip, I'm sure. You get to stay in 4-star hotels, because we do it right here, Bob Benyart Live. We don't mess around. You're not going to be staying in a youth hostel sleeping on dirt. You're going to be staying in a nice place, and you're going to enjoy yourself. Now, the price of the trip is $1,985 per person based on double occupancy. And if you want a room all by yourself, just add $300 and you can have a room all to yourself. Now, we need a down payment coming up in just a few short weeks. And if you can't swing that, we'll put in some extra money and you can contact us a little later. But we need to hear from you to let us know that you want to go to Israel and spend a week with Bob. It is going to be great. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART, and let us know you're interested in the Israel Tour 2001. And everyone here at KGov Radio would like to express our sincere appreciation to each member of our listening audience. Thank you for the financial support you've given over the years and the support that continues to come in from all around America. This is a reminder that all the ministries you hear and hear about on KGOV depend on the faithful financial giving of listeners just like you. We ask you to consider the value of our programming every time you listen. Judge the content and its impact and make a financial contribution based on your decision. You can call anytime, 888-836-9278. That's 888-8-NYART. Make a contribution by credit card, pledge your monthly support, or sign up for one of our monthly tape series. You can also write us at KGOV Radio at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. We welcome your comments and your financial support. Call 888-836-9278 and support Bob Benyart Ministries and KGOV Radio.
I've lost the sound in my headsets. Am I on? Okay, I'm on. Bob Benyart here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. A European newspaper called Expressen quoted a passenger on the Delta flight saying that Sweden's gender equality expert was insolent and his behavior toward the women of the cabin crew was abusive. And Lars admitted to the paper that he had had too much to drink. What do you say? You say we pegged that story accurately? Lars is a homo gender equality expert who's sick of his boss, despises stewardesses. Of course, he would never call them stewardesses. He'd call them flight attendants, whether male or female. We like to call them stewardesses and male stewardesses and male homo stewardesses. We like to keep the gender terms functioning and stop the blurring of terms. Okay. Hey, a number of tragedies that, you know, we're so, our country has been bragging that the crime rate has plummeted. And what's happened is since Clinton has been in office, about, and it might have started a little before Clinton with Bush, but through the 1990s, we went from 1 million people in jail in America in prison to 2 million. 1 million to 2 million. And that's because during the 1990s, the population of the country doubled. We had been at 270 million. Now we're at 540 million. And that's why the inmate population doubled. No? Carl's telling me, no, the population didn't double. Oh, the population didn't double? Well, then why did our inmate population double from 1 million to 2 million? We already had the highest incarceration rate in the whole world. We just want to be number one, numero uno, primo on the block with not even a close second in line. If somebody's going to have the highest percentage of their people locked up in prison, then it's going to be us. Because we're going to lead the nation in every category, lead the world. So crime is down only because we've locked up another million people in prison. A million more people. 2 million people. Now, what's the population of the U.S. based on the latest census figures? Of course, they don't know how to count, but aside from that, what are they saying? 280 million? About that? 280 million. If we have 2 million in prison, wow, that's one. Could you do the math in your head real quick? That's what? That's one out of every 140 people are in prison. One out of every 140. So my son and I went to a Taco Bell by our house last week. Nathaniel, he's 15. And we went in, it was maybe 1 in the afternoon, and the girl behind the counter said to him, shouldn't you be in school? And he said, I'm homeschooled, because they have a rush of students come in the Taco Bell every noon hour, which for them starts at like 10:50. I don't know why. But a rush of students coming in there, and they brace themselves. It's like animals at the zoo getting loose, and they brace themselves, and they get through it every day. Then it's all over, and here comes a 15-year-old in, and she says, shouldn't you be in school? And he says, I'm homeschooled. And she looked like, huh, that's an interesting idea. She was about 25. And I said to her, go ahead, ask him a question. So she thinks about, what could I ask? And she thinks, all right, what's 60 times 10? And Nathaniel was like, 60 times 10? Can't you think of a better question than that? So he said, 600. And she said, my brother can't get that. He's a senior. I just asked him that. Whoa. And then I said, can't you ask a harder question? And she asked the question, and Nathaniel misunderstood the question. And he thought, she said something like 62 times 2. He thought she said 62 divided by 2 times something or other. And so he answered the more complicated question that he thought she asked. And the question, he thought she asked the question that was a little bit hard to do in your head right away. And he did it in his head, and he answered it. And she said, oh, very good. He didn't give the answer to the question she asked. He gave the answer to the question he thought she asked. But she had no idea whether he was right or not. I didn't bother to correct the situation. What a shame. What a shame. So we have the murder rate has gone down and the violent crime rate has gone down because we've put another million people in prison. So we're locking them up, getting ready to unleash them on a future generation with their new and improved social skills that they've garnered while in prison. So that will happen at a yet future undetermined time because nobody goes to jail for the amount of time they're supposed to go to jail. I guess that's happening more. So we're putting more and more people in prison for longer periods of time. So, okay. So when we say that violent crime has reduced, we have to filter it through that lens, that observation, that understanding of what's going on in America. While violent crime is being reduced, we see this terrible continuation of crime, murder, and violent crime by young people. And we see an epidemic that we identified on this show a couple years ago that I have yet to hear anyone in the media identify, which is murder suicides, which are becoming epidemic. And the reason they're becoming epidemic is two reasons. One, because murder is epidemic. And two, because our media and our institutions are promoting suicide as an acceptable human behavior. And so therefore you see an increase in both, in murder and suicide and murder suicides. So I have here two that have occurred in the last week. These aren't the only two. There's just two I happen to come across. One out of the Rocky Mountain News, the other on the internet. One in South Carolina, Greer, South Carolina, a man charged with, now, and we also talk about PMS killings, premarital sex killings, and extramarital sex killings. And so this, see if that has to do with these stories. What do you think? One is in South Carolina, the other is in Pueblo, Colorado. Not Pueblo, but Pueblo, Colorado. All right, in Colorado, three people were shot and killed Sunday in an apparent murder-suicide. That's this a week ago. And in Greer, South Carolina, a man was charged with killing his estranged wife, her daughter, and their son. What a tragedy. And then trying to destroy the couple's antique shop before killing himself early Thursday, a few days ago. Okay, now, in these two stories, let's go through and we'll look at, we'll see what's going on. The Greer, South Carolina case, they charged this Michael Hildebrand, he's 43 years old, with three counts of murder in the deaths of his wife and his stepdaughter and his son. Now, we don't know the ages of his kids in this Associated Press story. They didn't have the children's ages yet. What a tragedy. But they had an arrest warrant for the guy, and then he killed himself. The three were found dead in their beds early Wednesday. The wife had been shot several times in the face and head. Each child was shot once in the head. What a terrible tragedy. A judge had ordered him to stay away from the family's home and have no contact with family members. Now, we've talked about these restraining orders for years on my show, and say it's somewhat common that they end in the death of the woman who's trying to get protection, because our system completely fails. But, you know, if a society's attitude about suicide is positive, or it works suicide into the normal functioning, then you've, you know, in Muslim beliefs with Allah, you kill yourself and you'll be honored in the afterlife because you've killed yourself. In empirical Japan with their kamikaze pilots, and you kill yourself and you're honored. And when society says that this is acceptable, then a lot of pain is brought about as a result. And it's not acceptable. It's tragic. And so here he has his estranged wife. What's the reason for the vast majority of marriages failing? Well, let's look at the case in Pueblo, Colorado. Three people were shot and killed in a murder-suicide. Ignacio Rangel, 31, shot his wife and a man believed to be her boyfriend. Now this, let's see. Three people were shot and killed Sunday? Now, wait a minute. How can that be? On Sundays, crime is way down. Isn't that true? Sundays, crime is way down. You know, Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the beginning of the week. And crime is way down on Sundays. So that's strange that these murders would occur on Sunday. Most rapes and murders, excuse me, most rapes and murders belong to the weekend, to the partying groups. You know, to those who go out on Friday and Saturday nights partying, that's when the rapes and the murders occur. How could these people be murdered on Sunday? Thanks to the Lord, normally Sunday, the crime is really down. Well, so Ignacio Rangel shot his wife and a man to believe to be her boyfriend before shooting himself at about 2 a.m. Oh, that explains it. 2 a.m. on Sunday. That's just a hangover from the weekend. That's what that is. You can't attribute that to the Lord's Day, because crime is down on the Lord's Day, thanks to the Lord and his influence in our society. That's the weekend. That's the Coors Day and the Budweiser Day and the Ecstasy Day and the Cocaine Day. The wife's daughters, ages 17 and 12, were in the house at the time, and the younger girl witnessed the shootings. Now, they don't say in here, but I imagine both girls witnessed the adultery.
Bob Enyar teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyar tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931. And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism. Folks, get the video. Bob debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
And we're back, Bob and Your Live, 1-800-8-NYR. You can call us on Mondays from noon to 2 Eastern Time. I'd like to know if anyone has the answer to the booby trapping of the house that happened in Port of Spain in Trinidad. And, you know, Trinidad and Tobago. That's where that is, right? Trinidad and Tobago. Tobago? The guy booby-trapped his home because the police were unable to offer him any relief in the repeated robberies occurring in his home. And so he built a homemade guillotine and set it out a window and it ended up severing a 17-year-old girl's hand. Now, if the girl broke into the house to get food, and he had repeatedly been robbed, and I doubt it was of food every time, I would expect that she was the culprit all along, the neighbor girl. So the police are investigating whether any criminal charges should be filed. We should write a letter to them, and we should tell them, of course you should charge the girl with robbery. We should do that. Let's see if we can get their address. How do we get the address of the police in Port of Spain, Trinidad? How do we do that? Let's see. What if we go to google.com and let's see. What if I do this right now? If I don't succeed, maybe somebody in the office can help us there. Port of Spain, Trinidad, and Trinidad, and police headquarters? Just police. Let's see what pops up. Okay, we've got 3,000. Now, that's too many. Police headquarters, the skeletal remains of the former police headquarters? What? Had been firebombed? No wonder they can't get the robber. Man, they're in a mess over there. Port of Spain. Well, I've got an article here, and apparently police. On the west side of the Red House, at the corner of St. Vincent and Sackville Streets, can still be seen the skeletal remains of the former police headquarters, which rebels firebombed before launching their assault on the Red House. Now, the Red House, that contains the House of Representatives. I guess they got a real mess over there. They got a real mess. Port of Spain has 51,000 people. All right, well, maybe we could get their address. Let's work on getting their address, and then we'll send them a letter. We'll urge them to do the right thing and charge the girl. Now, an article here out of the Rocky Mountain News that I've been saving. I planned on getting to it last Monday, and I didn't. And I was determined to get to it this Sunday. Headline, banner headline across the top of the page one of the Rocky Mountain News, deadbeats pay up. Deadbeats pay up. And that, of course, refers to the word deadbeat is only allowed to be used in reference to dads. You can only use the word deadbeat in reference to dads. State child support coffers grow for 10th year in a row. Net a record $217 million. Deadbeat dads pay up. And the article is on page four. I've turned to the article. And when I read stories about increased collection of child support, and even just child support in general, it saddens me because people, even Christians and conservative Christians, haven't thought this through. The more money that's collected in child support, the more that encourages both divorce and children born out of wedlock. Because the easier it makes it to have to survive with raising children without intact families. And the system should not try to make it easy to raise kids without a mom and a dad at home. Raising kids without a mom and a dad should be excruciatingly difficult, so that it's not just a haphazard little, I'll bring another child into the world without a dad because, hey, the government is going to make it easy for me to get money for this kid. So here's the article. Colorado's child support collections grew in the year 2000 for the 10th consecutive year as county workers gathered a record $217 million. $217 million. And they talk about one woman, Rebecca Fernandez, 32 years old, who has two children, and she says that she can't afford shoes for her children or a trip to the dentist. She said, I have money enough for food, but not for the dentist and not for shoes. Fernandez has a 12-year-old son from one former boyfriend and a 4-year-old daughter from another. There's the point. There's the point. The state is making it easier for women to bring kids into the world without dads, without fathers, without husbands in the household. And the ever-increasing revenue flow from child support laws is not the solution. It's not what's going to help kids grow up in a healthy way. That's the wrong solution. Child support is a mistake. Isn't it funny, with all the laws God gave in the Bible about families and inheritance and divorce and remarriage, and he forgot to mention anything about child support. Isn't that something? God forgot, and we liberals, the Republican liberals in America, has fixed that shortcoming on God's part. And they've filled in the law where God blew it by forgetting to legislate child support. Let's go to the phones. In Denver, John, speak your mind.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good. I guess you had a question about something that happened in Spain, right?
No. In Trinidad.
Trinidad, Mexico.
Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean.
Okay.
The port of Spain. You know, there's a Trinidad, Colorado, too. But this is in the Caribbean, a town called Port of Spain.
Port of Spain, okay.
Yeah, and a homeowner had been repeatedly robbed in his home, and so he made a guillotine and set it up. He booby-trapped his home, and a 17-year-old neighbor girl had broken to his home, and the guillotine was triggered, and the blade came down and severed her wrist, her hand. Her hand came off completely.
Ooh.
And doctors took 12 hours to reattach it, and they don't know if she'll regain use of the hand. And the question, now police are investigating whether any criminal charges should be filed.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Well, can you give me a piece of information?
What's that?
What time did this happen?
The article from Reuters news agency, does not tell us when it happened.
It could have happened at night, it could have happened in the daytime, huh?
Yeah, it could have. I would guess, here's my guess, it happened at night, but I don't know.
Okay, I was just referring to Exodus 22, that we're on verse 2 and 3. If the thief is found breaking in and he is so struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft.
Okay, and the point of that, when God gave that law, was that you don't have carte blanche to kill someone or maim them if they're breaking into your home.
Right.
But if there's a threat that's perhaps undefinable, you can kill someone breaking into your home, for example, at night when you can't see what kind of advantage they have over you. If they have a weapon, they're breaking in at night, meaning they should expect their people in the home, and you kill them, that's acceptable. However, if it's during the day and you could see it's a teenage kid from next door, he's a jerk, but he's not a threat to life or limb, and he starts to run out of the house and you shoot him in the back and kill him, then you're guilty. You don't have the right to do that.
But if you set up a trap there, a machine can't discern, it can't discriminate anything between that. So
that's true. And also, how if you booby-trap your property, you put police and firefighters and paramedics at risk.
That's true, too.
And let's say an innocent lost child or some other innocent person through some freakish circumstance is destitute and desperate for help. And so by booby-trapping your property, you put innocent people at risk.
Right.
So I think that as a general rule that it's not to be allowed to booby-trap your property. But what we should think through is when crime becomes epidemic, we just found out live on the show that we were going to send the police headquarters a letter telling them, of course you should charge the girl with a crime. Because I have a feeling that's not what they're investigating. But we're going to send them a letter, but it turns out it would end up at the skeletal remains of the police headquarters. Because it's been burned out and bombed out, firebombed. by rebels.
Whoa.
Who were trying to get to the Red House, which is where their House of Representatives meets. So we can't send them a letter. It could just get to the skeletal remains of the police headquarters. So, but could you hold on a moment, John?
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get to the bottom of the homemade guillotine.
Twenty years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata, and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Denyer Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Enyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-ENYART.
During the break, I searched on Google for Port of Spain, in quotes, and then Trinidad. And then, in quotes, new police headquarters. And I got one site popped up. So, obviously, they must have a new police headquarters, and I'm hoping I'll be able to, let's see, headquarters. I'm hoping we'll be able to find the address of their new police headquarters, since there's only the skeletal remains of the old police headquarters. And we don't want to email the old police headquarters. That wouldn't be worthwhile. So, let's see, old police headquarters. Boy, this is a long, this is their appropriation bill. It's on the web. Cool. That's pretty cool. I'm all for that. Let's see. All right, we'll get to that later. Let's go back to, hey, John. Welcome back, John.
Okay. Well, good to be back, sir.
Okay, so, a guillotine and booby-trapping your home. When crime becomes epidemic, as obviously is going on in Trinidad and Tobago there.
Right.
You could expect all kinds of collateral trouble, not just the trouble from the criminals and what they do to their victims, but you could expect the development of a warfare mentality. And that's a result of negligence on the part of the government. For example, a police officer who's a little too quick on the trigger and shoots and kills an innocent person in, you know, the post-Christian era in America is not as responsible for that act as a police officer who does so during the Christian era in America. Because during the Christian era, there wasn't an epidemic of violent crime, and a police officer on the beat didn't have a mindset that he was on the front line of a war.
Right.
And so when there is a breakdown of law and order in a community, a judge needs to take that into account when he deals with accusations of over-aggressive law enforcement or self-defense measures that go beyond what is the norm or what should be allowed. If an innocent person is injured by someone booby-trapping their home, the homeowner should be held fully responsible. But that person, when crime is epidemic, that person should be punished less severely if a criminal is injured. If a criminal is caught in the act of trying to commit a crime and someone's booby-trapped his home, and all this entire situation occurs in the context of a crime epidemic that's allowed by inept government, then I believe that that homeowner should be punished less severely.
That sounds fair.
And that's a judgment call I'm making, John.
Okay.
You have to really stretch to find a principle to that effect in the Bible. The only thing that comes to mind is if you have someone who accidentally kills one of your kids and the government does not do its job, the system fails in trying to figure out what happened, and you as the father, enraged in your emotion, you think this neighbor guy purposely killed your five-year-old daughter, and in anger, you kill him.
Right.
And the government had failed in its duties to oversee the situation and to determine what was the truth of the story, then I would say, based on a biblical principle and a biblical example that God gives regarding the cities of refuge, that then you don't put that man to death because it's understandable what happened. Even though what he did was not right, it wasn't appropriate, but the circumstances are so overwhelming, and the government failed in its duties, therefore you don't punish this guy with the full extent of the law. And so I would say that principle applies in this case, and that this guy should not lose his hand for hand, foot for foot.
Right.
That should not happen to this homeowner, but what he did was wrong, and he should be punished less severely, perhaps a flogging, perhaps one or two lashes.
Or some restitution to the parents of the girl, you think? Or
I wouldn't at all, because she was committing a crime.
Ah, okay.
Not at all. But small punishment in comparison to the result of his misbehavior.
Right.
And the judge, God gives judges leeway. God does not try to legislate every single possible circumstance. He legislates generally in areas and provides principles. And then the judge, it's up to the judge to apply the basic principles to the case at hand. And if the basic principles are obscured through lawyers making hundreds of thousands of laws that have very little resemblance to God's legislation in the Bible, then you don't have any chance of figuring out what's the right thing to do. But if you have a clear enunciation of the legal principles God laid out in the Bible, and then you have judges who are reading those and told apply those principles to a particular case, then they stand a much better chance of coming up with the correct judgment. John, so that's how we would handle it here at the shadow government.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your call and getting to bounce that off of you.
I appreciate getting to solve a case with you, Bob.
Okay, John.
You have a great day.
God bless you. Thanks for calling. And we're about out of time here, huh? We only have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. No time for a solid get a Gettner plug. just maybe a minor get a Gettner plug. That call, John called in. We put his call on, and we had no technical problems other than the quality of the call was not as good as it should have been. But at least there wasn't a buzz. There wasn't a broken up line. We didn't drop the call. And, of course, we didn't have any other caller on, like a special guest that we were trying to bring callers into. That makes it more complicated. But we survived that call. You know, what is it, maybe one out of three calls go well? We really want this Gettner so that we could take KGov to a higher level and a higher quality of programming on the web. Web radio is every day web radio gets closer for some people. In fact, some people do it. Microsoft's new cell phone is out. I think it's shipping now, where they have a simplified Windows operating system built into a cell phone where you could get email and connect to websites and use your cell phone. What that means is pretty soon, as the bandwidth available through the airwaves increases with technology and more infrastructure, and as prices continue to drop, people are going to start listening to websites over their cell phones and over their car radios. And so if we could stake out our territory on the web, eventually you're not going to need NBC or Fox or CNN or anybody to reach a mass market. You're going to be able to do it over the web. And that's where we've staked out our territory, because our message is not very palatable. You know, poor Elijah, he was the only one in the country. Oh, no, he wasn't. There were 7,000. But 7,000 are not enough to buy time on NBC. And we won't even need the Christian networks like TBN. TBN, we won't even need them. Because our message of solid biblical study, Bible study, and applying the principles of the Bible to the church and the government and the family today, it's not always super popular. But it needs to be done, and we're doing it right here on the web. And with your help, we'll do it and reach even more people. So give us a call if you'd like to help us get a Gettner. Call us at 1-800-8-NUR, even when we go off the air. We'll be manning that line 24 hours a day until we get a Gettner. Well, not really. But you could call 24 hours a day, 1-800-8-NUR, the telephone call-in line. And we'll use that line, we'll pick that up, and we'll take your offers of help to help us get a Gettner. We only need another $1,850. So this is Bob and... Or you can go on the internet at kgov.com, click on Shop, Right Stuff Market. This is Bob and it reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.